Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
All right, guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Been waiting. Been waiting a week.
I know. I wouldn't have been able to wait a week. I'm glad I know what happened.
Well, I've been dying, so I'm ready to hear it.
All right.
This is just a cluster.
Yeah. So last week we heard about Paulette missing and the search for her and how the crime scene was completely effed up and not actually treated as a crime scene.
Correct.
All right. So this week we are going to pick up at a part that's going to just blow your freaking mind.
As if my mind wasn't blown already.
Yeah, this section right here is one of the worst parts of this case. Like, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
All right, so let's get into it.
All right.
Just when you think the contamination couldn't get worse, it does. Lizette had a friend, Amanda, come and stay at the apartment with her after Paulette went missing. And I'm not sure if this was a planned visit or if her friend decided to come over to give emotional support after Paulette went missing. But she did come over and she slept in Paulette's bed.
No fucking way.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
No. The entire time.
What do people think of? Like, what world are we living in?
I know. Like, every time this story, it's like, okay, you can't get worse than this. You can't get worse. Like, your child's missing and you just let some person come and stay in their bedroom. The room's never marked off as a crime scene.
Well, first of all, we know she's not a stellar parent.
No.
But second of all, if I'm the friend, there's no way in hell I'm sleeping in a child that just went missing's bed.
Yeah.
I'll sleep on the couch.
Exactly. You're in a big-ass apartment. I'm sure there's a guest bedroom. Why do you have to sleep in a missing child's bed?
That's weird.
How does anybody think that's okay?
That's weird. I'm sorry. That's just weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's off. Like, nobody thought this was normal. While Amanda stayed in Paulette's room, she was literally sleeping feet away from the little girl's body, and she didn't smell or notice anything out of the ordinary while she stayed in her room.
No, because again, she wasn't there.
In Amanda's statement to the police, she stated that while she was staying there, her morning routine was to get up every morning and make Paulette's bed. She would tidy things up and try to keep the area clean. She just wanted to be a great house guest. Well,
good job, Amanda.
Yeah.
Step one to being a great house guest, do not sleep in a missing child's bed.
Exactly.
But the fact that she made the bed every morning and never discovered a body.
Yeah, that just raises more flags. Like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
All right, so there's two reasonable explanations of why Amanda never noticed a tiny dead child in her bed.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
When you say it like
that. Yeah, when you say it like that, that's terrible. Like, how did you stay, even not knowing that she was in there, how do you stay in her room? That's like a sacred spot now. You don't
go
in there.
Absolutely.
So the first would be that she just sucks at making the bed and never fixed the comforter and sheets at the end of the bed, which bothers the hell out of me. If you make the bed, you make the whole bed, not just pull the covers up and arrange pillows.
Right.
Since Amanda was going for house guest of the year, I'm going to assume that she tried her best when making the bed.
Yes.
The second reason she would not have noticed Paulette at the foot of the bed is because Paulette wasn't there.
That's right. Ding, ding.
Yep.
Bingo.
That's got to be the winning answer.
That's the one.
Yep. Another question I have about the bedding, and I couldn't find any definitive answer.
Oh.
But I think it would be helpful to investigators to know, was Paulette's bedding removed, washed, and replaced after she went missing? Or were the sheets on the bed the same sheets that were on the bed the night that she went missing?
Yes.
If the sheets weren't changed, you would think that someone would have noticed that the bed didn't have a flat sheet or possibly the fitted sheet.
Correct.
She's wrapped up in a sheet. There's a sheet missing.
Yeah, there's one side missing.
You may not say anything right away because it's not weird that some people don't use a fitted sheet or a flat sheet. But once Paulette was found, that would have been useful information.
Exactly.
If the sheets were removed, washed, and put back on the bed after Paulette went missing, how did no one find her when they were removing, then remaking the bed? None of this makes sense. Another issue I have is that Paulette's parents just let another person stay in their missing daughter's room. I would think they would want to keep everything perfect for Paulette when she came back, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't want to mess with her bedding because it would still have her scent. And this is just a personal thought mm-hmm. of mine. I just wouldn't be able to let someone else stay in my child's room.
No, no. I go back to that's weird.
Yeah. So we've made a few loops on the crazy train.
Yes, we have.
But guess what?
Nuh-uh.
I have more what the facts.
Oh.
We know how finding Paulette's body played out because the police filmed the search and discovery.
Wait, so they never filmed it before? They never filmed the initial search?
Apparently not. They only filmed the search where they found her. And sadly, this full video was released to the public, and it showed Paulette's body in the video.
Oh my God, why?
I'm thinking that the cops did it as a CYA, saying like, she was so obviously right here. There's no way she was here when we were doing our other searches. But they didn't even blur her out.
What?
Yeah. Like, they have it posted multiple ways, and you can still see the video with her dead body visible. The one I watched was blurred and edited. I couldn't do the full thing.
Mm-mm, yeah.
Because it's terrible.
That poor sweet baby.
But why would you video search number 9 or 10? Like, why didn't you visit video the 5 searches? Like, so the police's reasoning for releasing the uncensored video is that they wanted the public to know exactly how and where Paulette's body was discovered. This seems like the police are using this to cover their asses.
Mm-hmm.
They want the public to know that they did their job and the evidence in this case was not adding up. But to make this a little bit weirder, the search of the home was conducted at 2 a.m., the videoed search that they found her body.
Really?
Yep. So it seems like a random time to search a home again after it had been searched over 5 times in nine days.
Maybe so the news people couldn't see them carrying in a dead girl's body?
Maybe
and
so.
Planting it?
Like, did someone tip them
off? Someone got paid off, maybe?
Yeah, like, why would they go at 2 o'clock in the morning and video the search? Like, did somebody call and say, hey, look, I think she's there. I think she just came back. Busting down the door, going, look. And, like, I don't know. But just another aspect of the case that isn't
not
wrong. It's just off. It's not what you would expect. It's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
The video that was released shows 3 forensic experts going into Paulette's room and then heading toward Paulette's bed. They begin by taking measurements and then describing what the bed looks like for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly into the video, one of the investigators states that it looks like Paulette had been severely beaten to death.
Oh my God.
This investigator doesn't state this opinion once in the video. He says it twice.
Mm.
But if you notice, I haven't said that they were at the point in the video where the body was discovered and viewed by the investigators. That's because when the investigator makes this statement, her body hasn't been seen by them yet.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. He is saying how she was murdered and has not seen her body yet. Twice. He
body covered twice. Up with a sheet.
Uh-huh.
And he says she was severely beaten.
Yep. So that kind of...
Okay.
Huh. All right.
Okay.
At this point in the video, they have only walked in and pointed out her bed in relation to the door. It confuses me that he makes this statement twice when, mm-hmm. according to their footage, he hadn't even seen her.
Ugh.
After the initial entry and bed description, the investigators begin their work at the headboard of her bed and work their way down the bed to the footboard.
What are they doing?
Well, it gets better. Mm-mm. When the investigators pull back the comforter, they begin to describe noticeable blood stains on the bedding.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That best friend came over and stayed in and never said a word?
Yep.
Okay.
In the video, there's 2 large blood stains about the size of a plate showing on the bedding.
Was it the same bedding that was there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So if you recall, family friend Amanda, guest of the year, had been sleeping in this bed for several days and making the bed.
News reporter and mom.
News reporter and mom sitting on the comforter. No one ever mentioned or saw blood stains. And they weren't like smears or little drops. They were the size of a freaking plate. They were large blood stains.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah. The stains are very obvious. So either Amanda wasn't sleeping in that bed and making the bed every morning, or those stains weren't there when she was sleeping there.
Ugh.
When removing the last sheet from the bed, 2 officers remove the sheet together, Mm-hmm. And that is when Paulette's body is found. Her body is wedged between the footboard and the mattress. You ready for some more bizarre information?
Can I ask you? So she wasn't just wrapped in a sheet and tucked between the footboard and the mattress exterior. They're saying she was under the comforter, under the...
Yes.
Under the top sheet wedged.
Yes. She was in a sheet, though. There was a sheet wrapped around mm-hmm. her, and it was tucked in there. And when they found her, the comforter was over her, but you could smell and see mm-hmm. that there was something at the end of the bed.
Okay.
But yeah, she wasn't on top of the bed. She was under the comforter.
So she wasn't just on top, smushed in. She was like underneath, like she had been sleeping and somehow crawled to the edge, got herself stuck in there.
Yep.
And beat up.
Yep. Yeah. And never called for anybody, because she can say mom and dad, but
yeah,
nobody heard anything.
Okay.
The police released the video as proof that they were being honest about what they knew, how they knew it, why they knew it, etc. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then I would think that this means that the video captured everything live as it was happening. It was not recorded or re-released as a reenactment. Mm-hmm. However, the released footage was never verified one way or the other. So we don't actually know if the video released was the live discovery of Paulette's body, or if her body was found without any cameras being present, and then the police went back with the camera as proof that they had done their due diligence. Mm-hmm. So they left the apartment and came back, reenact what happened, and put it all on video. We don't know either way. The police say that it was live.
I would have to say that they would have to say reenacted.
Yeah, you would think that they would say reenacted.
Well, I don't know what to think with these.
Yeah, now... I'm hoping this was some form of a reenactment rather than the actual footage, because there's several things that happen in the video that don't sit right with the public. Mm. The first is the investigator that enters the room stating twice that Paulette was beaten to death mm-hmm. before her body was found. The next thing brought up is an issue to some viewers, but not others. And this is the fact that people feel the investigators are speaking in a monotone voice. Mm-hmm. It was stated by some.
Rehearsed,
maybe? Yeah. It was stated that some people thought the investigators were reading off of a script.
I got you.
They also didn't seem shocked to discover Paulette's body in a location that had been repeatedly searched. Mm. If this was a reenactment, I don't know why the investigators wouldn't just tell the public, hey, we found her body, but the location of her body was so unbelievable to us that we decided to recreate the discovery and video it so others can see what we're seeing when we found her. Like, we're doing our job. But mm-hmm. that was never said. Mm-mm. Whether the video was a reenactment or a live video during the discovery, the video still didn't make sense.
Right.
There's red flags everywhere, and it was assumed that police were not being totally honest in the situation. Hmm. When the video was released, the attorney general had quite a bit of commentary to add to it.
I bet.
Yep. He said that the video showed and proved that Paulette's cause of death was an accidental strangulation.
She strangled herself.
Yep, you heard that correctly. She accidentally strangled herself.
Okay.
The cause of Paulette's death was an accidental strangulation. According to investigators in the video, she was beaten to death.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Okay.
So her cause of death went from a vicious beating to an unfortunate accident of a disabled person getting stuck and not being able to move herself from the position and then sadly passing away.
Right. Oh, God.
He also never mentioned anything about Paulette being beaten. Mm-hmm. So what is the truth? How are we supposed to know who we need to believe?
We won't.
Was Paulette's body bruised and beaten, or had she died of accidental asphyxiation? Like, it's a big difference. Which one was it? We also have the huge issue that all of the evidence previously garnered suggested that Paulette's body was not in that location the entire time she was missing. Like, that's huge.
Yes.
There's no way.
Overwhelming.
Yeah. There's no way she was there and that many people and dogs and a woman sleeping in her bed. Nobody noticed her.
Yeah.
But why would her body be moved from the crime scene, hidden somewhere else, and then returned to her bed if her death was an accident?
Hmm.
Yeah, so this case sends my mind into overdrive. Mm-hmm. All of the information out there regarding this case can send you down so many rabbit holes, and you'll never find your way out.
I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in that place.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So, as mentioned earlier, Paulette's parents and both nannies had been taken into custody, mm-hmm. but none of them were ever charged with anything. Mm-hmm. They all seemed suspicious and uncooperative, but there was no definitive evidence found to arrest or charge any of them with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, after a few days, they were all allowed to leave police custody. They were still under investigation, and they weren't allowed to leave the country, but they were free to leave the police station. Mm-hmm. After being released from police custody, Paulette's parents did not band together and support each other in this terrible time. Instead, her parents turned on one another, and every bit of their dirty laundry was aired out for all to see.
Oh, that's what dirty business does to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were not actually happy, wealthy, successful people, and their family wasn't perfect, just like mm-hmm. everybody had thought.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they were low on money, and the fact that they had two nannies, multiple housekeepers, and were paying for the most expensive treatments for Paulette, it was completely draining their bank accounts.
Okay, besides, poor little Paulette.
Yeah.
Had to be the one to go.
Yep.
Most expensive item in the house.
Besides their financial struggle, Lizette and Mauricio were not getting along, and their relationship was far from happy or healthy. At the beginning of this episode, I mentioned that Lizette wasn't able to go on that weekend trip with Mauricio and the girls because right. she had already made plans.
Okay.
Well, Lizette did have another trip planned that same weekend, but her friend wasn't her bestie from high school. Her friend was actually her lover.
Nasty.
Yes. So she wanted to go have sexy time instead of spend time with her husband
and
children.
The last vacation ever with Paulette.
Yep. And so she had been cheating on Mauricio this whole time. Like, they're not sure how long it had been, but it had been a while that she had been cheating on him.
I need a cigarette.
I know. This episode
I don't even
sucks.
Smoke. I don't even smoke.
I don't even smoke.
I need a cigarette.
When this information was made public, a lot of people thought Lizette had to be the main suspect because she was the last person to have been with Paulette the night she went missing. And in the undercover recordings, she isn't reiterating her innocence. She's telling her young daughter to lie to the police. Mm-hmm. Mauricio was not standing up for his wife, proclaiming her innocence either. He was the one speaking out that Lizette had done something to their daughter. He claimed that he was suspicious of her before the police even were notified.
Here come the finger pointings.
Exactly. It definitely wasn't me. It was you.
Mm-hmm.
He was also interviewed by a local news station, and the interviewer asked him if he would speak on behalf of Lizette, and he outright refused.
Dang.
Yeah, he mad. He real mad.
He's big mad.
He is big mad. He said he could only speak to his own innocence, not hers.
Oof.
This interview wasn't just a show for the reporters, though. He was also telling Lizette these things to her face in other interviews with the same news station.
Wow.
It's like freaking Jerry Springer.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mauricio didn't care. Lizette did it. He don't care.
Why? Cheating, murderous whore?
Exactly. So Lizette broke down in tears and said that Mauricio had told her he never wanted to see her again.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Mauricio was so angry at her that he even told her not to come to Paulette's wake.
Ooh.
When the interviewer asked her why she thought Mauricio would be suspicious of her, she blamed it entirely on the police.
Well.
She didn't think it had anything to do with her own actions. Lizette stated that the investigators have played a lot with their minds and maybe Mauricio didn't have enough trust in her. Well, you are cheating on him, so you don't really give him a lot of reason to trust you.
You got no reason to be trusted.
Nope. She told interviewers that she never doubted Mauricio's innocence in her daughter's death.
Maybe because she's guilty.
Yeah. So nobody's pointing fingers at Mauricio.
Yeah.
Shockingly, when Paulette's autopsy results came in, the coroner exonerated Lizette and Mauricio. The report actually exonerated everybody because the report showed that Paulette's official cause of death was asphyxiation that obstructed the respiratory airways and compressed the abdominal thorax. Mm. So what's this mean?
Yeah.
Well, Paulette slept with something called an orthopedic cloth over her face, which is something that forces you to breathe through your nose instead of your mouth.
Okay.
The coroner thought that Paulette was wearing the mask when she got trapped in the sheets and that allegedly that's what led to her death. However, there is a lot of controversy surrounding these masks online for both adults and children. I don't think this is something that was recommended by Paulette's doctors for her disabilities, or if it was, I think it was, if she was wearing this, it was something her parents had tried on her to see if it would help her sleep better. It definitely mm-hmm. was not doctor recommended.
Oh, okay.
The autopsy report also showed that there were no signs of drugs or any other toxic substances in her body that would have affected her consciousness. It was also found that she had eaten around 5 hours before her death. On top of all of that, the report claimed that there were no signs of her body being manipulated or moved after her death. Mm. And the report claimed that the position that she was found in was the exact position that she died in.
Hmm.
Something I find interesting about the autopsy report is that it said that Paulette could have died anywhere from 5 to 9 days before her body was found. So I know that once decomposition gets involved, it becomes more difficult to narrow down a timeline. But in my opinion, that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
If it was determined that she died 9 days before her body was found, then that would make sense, I guess, at least timeline wise.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was proven that she died 5 days after she was reported missing, then what happened for those first 4 days? Mm-hmm. Are we supposed to believe that she was trapped there alive for 4 days and nobody heard anything?
Yeah.
She could speak. She couldn't speak full sentences, but she could make noise.
Or you would hear a struggle to breathe.
Yeah. Or movement. Like, I mean, even if it's slight movement, that's a small area. You're going to see the bed move. You had an interview with the police.
And what about
the
blood? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Give me.
So
where'd the blood come from if she asphyxiated?
Yeah. The autopsy doesn't make any sense.
Does not.
And then, you know, Amanda slept in a room in her bed.
Sure.
Was she dying while Amanda was sleeping in the bed?
Ugh.
That doesn't make sense. No. Another thing that people questioned was why nobody smelled the odor of her body decomposing.
Mm-hmm.
If she was there the entire time, the reasoning behind this line of thinking is that the blankets were so tightly wrapped around her that they trapped the odor inside of the blankets.
But there weren't any blankets. She was just wrapped in a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Not a blanket.
Yeah, not a blanket. And the comforter and everything were just over her. That doesn't hold in the smell.
No. Okay, if I leave chicken in the trash can overnight, you're smelling it.
Yeah. Even with the drawer closed,
with
the
human,
bag closed.
Like, decomposition in a body begins immediately. So you release gases, first of all, that are not pleasant.
Yeah.
And bodily fluids that are not pleasant. Like, you, there's no way that you can't know this.
Yeah, there's no way nobody smelled anything. Especially, I mean,
you can't wrap a body up in a sheet that damn tight and hide it from cadaver dogs after a couple of days. Like,
and what was the sheet made of? Like, plastic? Stainless steel?
Rubber?
Cloth doesn't hold in smells. Like, I mean, you can still smell them. Even after you take it off, like, it holds smells, but it doesn't hold them inside. Like, it's going to leak out. You're going to smell something.
There's no way that she could be bound so tightly that you would not be able to smell her.
Mm-mm.
And again, I go back to the blood. Like, there's no, this isn't right. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. There's at least 7 things that do not tally up.
Yeah, you're going through and 1 + 1 = 7 in this case. Because it's
what kind
like,
of sales was this dude in?
Real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's what they call it nowadays. I don't know. Supposedly he was a real estate agent and then he was a successful businessman on the side. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm. We know what that means.
Yeah.
He had enough pull to scare some people, probably.
Probably. Another aspect of this case, as far as the smell goes, is that police were there day 1 through 8.
Yeah.
And nobody smelled anything.
No.
And then day 9, they open the apartment door and you can smell it from the doorway.
Mm-mm.
You had to walk across the house, up the stairs, and into the bedroom. But you could smell it downstairs on day 9 at 2 a.m.
Sure.
on day 9.
2 a.m.
Yeah. So at midnight, when it struck midnight, I was like,
yes.
Oh shit, this is going to happen. Pumpkin's coming out.
And it's not like they had to wait for a warrant to search the house because they've been freely searching the house for 9 days.
For 9 days.
This.
It's just. Like I told you, this case is just like, what? All right. So even after Paulette's death was ruled to have been accidental, Mauricio did not believe the official investigation report. He made it clear that he was still holding a big grudge against Lizette, so much so that when he learned Lizette was going to be at Paulette's funeral, he didn't even show up.
What?
Yep. The dad of Paulette did not go to her funeral because her mother was there.
What a deuce.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, going to really hold you back from attending your baby's funeral.
Yeah. Don't talk to her. Sit on opposite sides of the church.
These people.
Yeah. Like, how is that proving your point, Mauricio? That makes you look real good.
I cannot.
You did not even go say goodbye to your daughter.
I cannot.
It's hard to try to dissect both Mauricio and Lizette's action.
Yes, it is.
Was Mauricio blaming Lizette simply because he was overcome with grief and needed somebody to blame?
Possibly.
Did he point the finger at her from some sort of knee-jerk reaction or rational thinking because she was having an affair? Or did he actually think that Lizette was capable of harming her own daughter?
I would think if you thought that your partner was capable of harming your children like that... You wouldn't be with them.
Yeah, I would think you'd push a little bit harder if something happened to your kids and you truly thought that your spouse did it.
Yeah, immediately.
Like, I wouldn't call my sister and tell her what I had for breakfast and mention nonchalantly that my child's missing and continue on.
Like, I think maybe Lizette had something to do with it. No, he didn't know until after he found out about her affair.
Yeah, then it's her fault. I'm not saying she's innocent. I'm definitely innocent, but I can't say anything for her. Wow. I don't know.
People like that chap my ass. In case you couldn't tell.
Could not tell.
No.
Then there's the fact that it's just strange to not go to your own daughter's funeral.
Absolutely.
Even if Lizette was the last person in the world that he wanted to see.
Yes.
Was this hatred and anger of Lizette coming from the fact he thought she murdered her daughter? Or because he found out she was cheating on him?
His feelings were hurt.
I think so. I really think his feelings were hurt.
Mm-hmm. Little bitch.
Bitch.
I don't like him.
Yeah, no, I don't like either one of these. No.
I don't either.
Now, Lizette's not the only one who acted weird after Paulette went missing. The fact that Mauricio called his sister and just chatted about Paulette being missing instead of immediately calling the police is really strange.
Very.
When we look back on all that is available to the public on this case, Lizette does look more guilty than Mauricio. And, Mauricio wasn't the only one who was having a hard time accepting this whole accidental death ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every other person in Mexico and even over here in the United States had been keeping up with this case felt like something just wasn't right.
Yeah. Anybody with half a working brain.
Yep. This led to people digging into the evidence available to them to try to see if there was anybody who might want to hurt Paulette.
What are they called? The sleuths? What
yes, the internet sleuths.
Yes. They're going to figure it out.
They were wondering if, you know, possibly someone the police might be willing to cover for murdered Paulette. Not only Mauricio and Lizette were brought into custody, though, the two nannies, Martha and Erica, were also brought in for additional questioning. After the announcement that Paulette's death was being ruled as an accident, both the media and the police pretty much let them off the hook. And it's not hard to wonder whether they were in on the whole thing. They had been working for this family for 7 years, so I'm sure that they were really close.
Mm-hmm.
And it made people wonder if that closeness could have meant that they were willing to help cover up a crime. Erica was the one who couldn't find Paulette that morning, and neither of the nannies had bothered to contact the police and report her as missing. Either way, both nannies spoke out claiming their innocence. And some of their family members even talked to the press about how they could not have done it. Both nannies also told the media that they didn't believe Paulette's death was accidental, and they don't believe that her body was there the whole time she was missing.
And what would they gain by killing this little girl? That was their meal ticket. Like,
yeah, that's their livelihood.
That's how they made money, taking care of her.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. But what really gets me is, everybody but Lizette is saying this was not accidental. Why does everybody think it's not accidental? Lizette never says one way or the other.
Mm.
People began pointing out that they felt like Lizette acted nonchalant and emotionless about the entire disappearance and discovery of Paulette's body. According to the San Diego Union-Tribune, a legal psychiatric expert who worked closely with the investigators during this case said that in her professional opinion, Lizette might suffer from some type of personality disorder. She described Lizette's actions by saying she has always remained very distant in matters of affection and emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm.
She has lied, and these are characteristics that speak of a mental disorder, which that still doesn't rule her in or out as a child murderer.
No.
Okay, so I'm not surprised that there are a ton of different theories out there about who really killed Paulette, because it's hard to believe the accidental strangulation theory.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go over a few of the theories. First, there's the theory that somebody in Paulette's family killed her. It could have been Mauricio or Lizette working separately or together. Mm-hmm. And some people even wondered if Paulette's older sister could have accidentally harmed her and then her parents covered it up. But saying that a 7-year-old somehow killed her younger sister just doesn't make sense to me.
Mm, yeah.
The only thing you could even consider as evidence to support this theory are the undercover recordings where Lizette is basically scaring little Lizette into not talking to the police.
Yeah, but she's 7.
Yeah.
And she was like, why shouldn't I talk to the police?
Yeah, because like to me, it feels way more likely that Lizette and Mauricio were threatening her with the possibility of getting in trouble to scare her into keeping quiet.
That seems like
That's what I think. Because
you know, if you've done something terrible.
Yeah.
And if little Lizette actually did kill her by accident or otherwise, and her parents are talking to her, she would clearly be distraught. Like, I can't believe I did that.
And they had so many other people there during this time. Somebody would have noticed her being upset. She would have said something. She's 7 years old.
Right.
So she was young enough to believe the threat that her parents were giving her. So she wouldn't think that they were lying to her.
Yep.
Another reason that this theory doesn't make sense is that if little Lizette did hurt Paulette by accident, and if Paulette died because of whatever she did, it's not like the police were going to haul a 7-year-old off to prison.
Right.
Yeah, it would have been an accident. And you said earlier, it's an accident. Child did it, but if that was the case, Lizette and Mauricio should have just explained what happened to the police instead of try to have this elaborate cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like a really tragic case, and accidents like this do happen. In the end, the case was closed and is listed as an accidental death to this day. No one has been arrested or charged with anything in association with Paulette's death.
And that ain't right.
Nope. That ain't right, because nothing about this case makes sense.
Mm-mm. And you know they had to get, who even knows if they did DNA testing on the blood.
Yeah.
Well, so where'd they get the blood from?
They never explained the blood.
I gotta know. Is it really Paulette's blood?
Yeah. Maybe Amanda had her period.
Who knows?
Yeah. Nobody, because nothing ever came out about it.
Okay. Well, somebody's got some power somewhere and some strings got pulled. And some people were shut the hell up.
Yeah. Like another, I guess it's weird, but it's kind of like, wow, I wouldn't think they'd do this. The news crew that had done the interview in the bedroom released the full unedited video of the interview.
Okay.
Them setting up. You can see the entire bed. You see the entire room. They're discussing what they're going to talk about. And remember that pajama set that I talked about earlier?
Yes, yeah.
Paulette was found wearing the exact same pajama set that was in the interview. And Lizette said that she had multiple
of the same
pajama set. Okay. Then she said that the ones that she showed were actually little Lizette's pajamas. So she went into little Lizette's room and took the pajamas and put them on the nightstand in Paulette's room before the news crew got there, and then just happened to pull them up. Like it didn't make any sense. Mm-mm. It was really, really weird. But yeah, it's just like, this wasn't an accident. I don't know what did happen, but it was weird, and the truth still hasn't come out.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's real bad.
And it may never come out.
Mm-mm.
And it might.
I hope it does. If something did happen to her, she deserves justice.
She does.
And she was so cute. She looks like a little angel.
Yeah, I know. Big old brown eyes.
And she is very cute. All right, so
thanks for the Debbie Downer.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hopefully
one day.
Can't have nothing.
Can't have nothing nice.
Can't have nothing, right, Megan Turpin?
That's your hairdresser, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see y'all next week for another episode of Bitches Who Are
Unwell.
Bye. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.